Welcome to the Vegan Changemaker podcast. My name is June Fuchs, and I'm on the quest to veganize over 50% of the global human population by the year of 2030. Sounds delusional? Well, obviously, I can't do it alone, and that's why in this podcast, you're getting to meet some of the most influential, inspiring, and impactful vegans there are. May this episode help you create more vegan impact in the world, because we need your help as well, dear vegan friend. Aloha, everybody listening to the Changemaker podcast. June here. And today I'm again here with a really special guest of mine. His name is Sasha Jolliffe. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Hi. There we go. You're a fellow We the Free animal rights activist. I'm guessing that you're not only active for We the Free, but this is a big organization that we are both engaged in. And that's why we're wearing the same shirt today. For everybody who's watching this on YouTube, you'll see. We the Free. Mine is mirrored the wrong way. My camera does it like, but yours is the right way. So we
is
get
it?
That.
Okay, I see the mirrored image.
It is. It is. We've been connected on Facebook for a while now, but this is the first time that we're actually meeting in person. So this is really exciting. You're also a fellow LGBTQ plus an ambassador. I just learned before that you are in a marriage. We're going to call it just marriage for now, with another beautiful man that I'm creating a collaboration with at the moment. So I'm excited to co-create with the both of you. And for today's topic, actually, before I announce today's topic, well, actually, everybody read today's topic already in the title of this podcast. I want to tell, like, would you like to share with us a little bit more about yourself, where you're from, since when you're vegan, just a little bit of backstory?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you all. Even though I don't see you, but you see me, I guess you see me. Anyway, my name is Sasha, but you can call me Sash. I refer myself as Sash. So I was actually born in Kazakhstan to, I'm half Mongolian, half Ukrainian. So I came to the UK over 20 years ago, and I've been a vegan pretty much most of my life, vegetarian as it was then known. But vegan for the animals was only just a year or so, just over a year. And that's when I became an animal rights advocate as well. So that would be, I think, July last year.
Nice. And I've seen on your social media, you've been quite engaged. I see those beautiful pictures of all the street outreach events that you're doing. Here in Bali, we have beach outreach events, because on the streets, it's not that, with the traffic, you don't stand on the street like that. So we do them on the beach here. But yeah, I want to thank you for you know, stepping up your game as a vegan, which basically means starting to spread the vegan vision. And you said it really nicely, became an animal rights activist for the animals, or vegan for the animals. And this brings us a little bit to today's talk, because we were just chatting before I hit record about this, that you made a comment on a Facebook post, and I remember it vaguely, and I couldn't find it anymore, but it was so, it was so on point for me, and it just stuck with me, that I sent you a message and I was like, we need to do a podcast on this together. And it was somewhat in the terms of investigating the actual impact that blaming and shaming amongst us vegans, from vegans towards other vegans, actually has on our presence and positive impact as activists in the world. You just mentioned it before. Do you want to share with us a little bit how that how that topic came up for you?
Yes, of course. I've been sort of observing that for a while now. And as you know, We the Free, we sort of strive towards building a very strong community of animal rights advocates. And it is sometimes incredibly hard because of, I call it vegan on vegan war. It's an undeclared war, of blaming and shaming and point scoring as to who is more vegan and whether certain acts of other vegan activists are actually vegan enough. And in my view, such blaming and shaming, whether it's actually slowing down the progress or whether it's helping the movement, because the initial reaction when you blame and shame somebody, it's absolutely natural, you know, to feel defensive about that. So rather than actually helping the vegan movement, are you actually putting people off vegan activism by blaming and shaming them for their so-called non-vegan or not-so-vegan actions? And the list goes on. It could be like Chris and I were victim of, that's just one of the examples, I'm not going to speak for myself, of how apparently, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, it's something to do with Vegan Camp Out and how we took our dogs to the vegan camp out in very high temperatures, and apparently our dog died, you know, which is, there's a lot of lies and it was not true. And there was a lot of, and there's a badly timed photo was circling around. That's just one of the examples. Now, also there was an example of the actual vegan camp out itself, because the actual camp out is held on the shooting, or allegedly a shooting ground. Also, there were a few comments being thrown around that only Hunt saboteurs are the true vegans. Everyone else is basically nobody. We're just wasting our time, you know. So also people are naming certain groups, the charity groups, the activist groups, that are the only, are those groups that are making a difference. Everyone else is basically just there for the money or for self, I don't know, preservation or whatever you call it. And that's what I would like to investigate. I mean, it's if other vegans don't do exactly as other vegans do, does it give them the right to blame and shame those vegans? And by blaming and shaming them and calling them out for their supposedly non-vegan actions, does it actually slow down the progress? Or do we have to have like an open conversation as to, and asking questions as to, first of all, I want to understand as to why you did what you did. Mm-hmm. What was the thought behind it? What's the, you know, sitting with it, sitting with the ambivalence, you know, that accepting those gray areas, because I mean, it's, humans are not black and white. Our behaviors are not black and white. We all have different experiences, and certain, things that we do, there's always a reason for it. And so rather than blaming and shaming, I think it's always good to just sort of understand, first of all. So I'm just thinking, where is the solution?
Yeah. Let me give you the solution right now. No, I'm kidding. I can't do that. But it's a really needed topic to talk about. And as you were just speaking about it, I remembered this moment about 1 year into being a vegan for the animals and engaged in animal rights activism. That was back when I was living in Switzerland. I had this conversation with a friend of mine who was also very strongly engaged, super, super strong animal rights activist. And we were going out, and that was just in a phase where I was transitioning from drinking not a lot, but drinking quite some alcohol, to less and eventually to none. And that was in that phase. And we had a conversation where we were sitting in a pub, and she didn't drink alcohol, and she ordered something and made sure that the drink was vegan. And I just ordered a very, very tasty beer. I was in a phase where I was just spending one beer a night, and then it must have been the most delicious one, and it was pricey, but I was like, okay, I want that beer, it's the most special one you have. And she pointed out, and she was like, it might be that beer is not vegan, but is that where you draw your line? She asked me that exact question, and I was like, that's a really beautiful question to ask, because first of all, my awareness wasn't there yet, and you named it so nicely before, instead of blaming and shaming, I mean, it counts the same way for non-vegans. If we, as a vegan, start blaming and shaming non-vegans, they get defensive, and it's proven that your mind shuts itself down from receiving information when you're getting into this freeze, fight, or flight mode. We've probably heard of those, right? So I remember that question, and that stuck with me, or it stuck with me really long until now, to be humble towards other vegans. Because even though if you turned vegan and you said, I'm not going to eat anything not plant-based anymore, there's still all these little details and facets that we might want to learn about, but we haven't gotten access yet. So I think a next thing that we could talk about, and maybe even, you know, you gave an example before, and I would love to ask you to maybe brainstorm some more examples of how could we communicate to other vegans when we notice that they haven't really seen the whole circle yet, which, I mean, to be honest, who of us really has? Who of us? It's such a complex choice to become vegan when you're spinning the wheel further and further. The first steps are simple, but then when you're going into the clothing, when you're going into the cleaning products, you're going into dental products that you're using, there's a lot of details. So what would be some ways that we could open a conversation with other vegans about these things without pointing them out with anger and being like, you do this wrong?
That's right. You're absolutely right. It's to do with, I always bring an example with when you think of your earlier sort of childhood phase, when whether it is your parent, whether it is a teacher, when you've done something wrong, and as a child, you do know that you've done something wrong, but somebody else tells you off for it, you get scolded for it. So what you do, you automatically shut down. Like start feeling sorry for yourself, you know, and it's, you feel victimized, etc. And yet when somebody actually points out in a more diplomatic, adult-like way, you know, that, well, what you've done is not cool. Okay, so why you've done it? Let's work on so that you work on that so that it doesn't repeat itself, or you don't repeat the mistake that you just made. And that just stuck with me. There are various other experiments and studies are done where you actually tell people off. They're very less likely to carry out the task that you want them to do. And that works in rehabilitation, because in my view, becoming vegan is a rehabilitation process, or where you actually stop the oppression and then work your way backwards to rehabilitating yourself, i.e. living a life without whatever that you used to live with. There is often a fear, what my life will be like without something certain. And we must not forget that what's happening to the animals and people's participation in animal cruelty is perfectly legal. So therefore the law is always on their side. So when you actually speak to a pre-vegan person, okay, there was always that war going on in their head where they seem to struggle. Well, I did as well, where we struggle to put morals above the law, because there are some really unfair laws that have been changed through years and decades and centuries, you know, and that's what we're trying to achieve, I guess. And blaming and shaming, I don't think will work, because people will just shut down because, well, actually, I'm not doing anything wrong because it's perfectly legal. So goodbye. And you see, so you need to get them on their side. And I also use this analogy where, you know, when you speak to somebody with a closed mind, you need to gently knock on the door and hoping that they will open that door and will keep it open for you to speak to them. If you start banging on that door aggressively and kicking, of course, they're not going to open up. And we need to take that into account. And the example that I the topic that I mentioned to you was, is making someone accountable is the same as blaming? So, and we need to, I think, explore that topic more because I think making someone accountable for something is so often misunderstood. So,
Indeed.
which is not necessarily blaming and shaming someone for someone, it's making someone responsible for their action in the way that they will understand and take on board to stop their oppression and then work on themselves rehabilitation process.
Exactly. I just had to think when you said that getting them on or onboarding them on having them realize that they are responsible for certain actions and making them basically gifting them access to a new perspective that allows them to make a choice that is more aligned with their own values. With, in most cases, being vegan is aligned with almost every human's values in essence, at least in my experience. And what just came up for me and what I thought about was, if there would be like we would all love, all of us vegans, we would love to have one magical sentence that we could say to somebody and that they would be like, oh my God. And there are some really powerful sentences and they circulate on social media, they go, and these are the ones that don't get terrible critics and vegan amongst vegan fights, which I really love. And what I also made a part of my quest, my mission is to investigate as deep as I can and figure out which words truly hold the power to inspire someone's mind to make a switch. Because for everybody, it's different words, but there are more powerful words than other words. And there are things we can speak to other people that sink in deeper. And that's what it's truly all about. Because when they're opening up, we can speak into their heart space the same way that they receive it into their heart space. Or into their deeper layers of mind. And the debate between, to get back to that topic, the debate between vegans, right, which we talked about in the beginning and you're investigating, there are some things that instead of blaming and shaming amongst our vegans, we could shift to inform and empower each other. To also gift each
That's
other new
fine.
perspectives, right? On how could we have more impact? Because in essence, we want to have impact in the world. In essence, we want to save animals' lives and do that via creating more vegans in the world or helping people understand that they're actually already vegan. They just need to follow up with their actions. So my question for you now would be, what are some things that you're seeing on social media? And I'm not saying this to call out specific people, but I'm saying this to give those people that might have done a post like that, and I'm gonna blame myself here as well. In the past, I've been quite aggressive and I've been angry against other non-vegans, not yet vegans, and vegans. So what would you say to a past version of me, what not to write, or what topics to just leave alone and focus more energy on healthier ways or more converting ways of activism? What things do you see on social media that you're like, we don't need that. Let's just make a list together.
Well, you made a very, very good point early in your questions, like, what would you tell me not to do? And I think that's mistake number one, I think, where other vegans feel that they have the authority to tell other people what to do. And quite frankly, pre-vegans are right in some ways to say, well, don't impose your views upon me, your beliefs upon me, because that's exactly some activists are doing that, opposing their beliefs upon non-vegans. This is a very controversial thing of me to say, but that's exactly what we're doing. You are paying for us, you are supporting this. It's you. If you are doing this, then you are an abuser. You see what I mean? That, in my view, opposing their beliefs, because they believe that you, if you are non-vegan or pre-vegan, it's the same thing, and I hope it will become the same thing at some point, then that's opposing someone's view upon another person. Okay, so that's one of those things. So there's the it's not my place to A, judge you. It is not my place to tell you how to do your activism. And this is something that we must remember, okay, because we are not the victims. We never have been. We're advocates for the victims. And if we start getting our personal emotions into, you know, and mixed up with our advocacy, that's where we will slow down the progress. And if for some reason, because of your body language, which is actually quite a massive part of communication, what is it? It's about 60% or maybe even higher. It's the tone and body language. Very, very important. It's not always the words, but semantics are very, very important as well. You know, so and immediately you might actually lose a potential vegan because of the way that you deliver through body language and through your tone. And the conversation might not go so well. So they will actually walk away and you both will feel really, really bad and you will carry that with you. And then they're going to try, you know, and then something will trigger you again. So something that's in the past that's happened, you're going to mix it up, the previous conversation that you had, and it's an explosion. So, and then you will regret it even more. So your brain will start looking for things to justify as to why you feel a certain way. And when you see another vegan posting about, let's say, I recently found out that figs are not actually vegan. So, and for example, if somebody does hold that information about figs, and they will just go and they're going to project all that anger on that photo of another vegan posting a fig that they've just enjoyed, but they didn't know anything about it. So you see what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. So first of all, okay, lose that authority, be humble because you're advocate for the victims. You are not the victim. Don't tell anybody how to do. Well, I'm just telling actually.
We went there.
Absolutely. So just a recommendation, just for your own good, just for your own sake, you know, because you need to look after yourself and keep a neutral position. Also, you know, it's I take a position of a counselor. So when you're a counselor, your job is not to judge. Your job is to keep that information because when Mel is telling you something, they're saying it to you in confidence. So your job is, you know, make sure that, you know, you kind of avoid judgment, avoid, you know, no matter how tempting it is, you know, so it just, you know, when you talk about something like, let's go to the extreme, I guess, you know, where you have, you know, prison psychologists, they work with people who committed crimes. Felons. It could be murder, whatever that is. Okay. So the reason why they're considered as crimes is because they're illegal. So therefore they will have psychologists, they will have counselors working with them on the rehabilitation process. And I think that's the mature way. That's a very modern way of doing it rather than hanging someone. And essentially what we are doing to each other online, vegan on vegan war, is I call it cyber stoning. And I think that's just got to stop. And I myself trying to find out what the solution is. And I'm trying to personally, you know, contact several people that do that. They do it unintentionally. So yeah, the intent is there and the intent is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the behavior does not match that. So therefore we need to discuss that.
Yeah. Yeah. What I've observed as well, as you're saying this, is it's often, you just mentioned before, we're not the victim, we're advocates for the victim. I want to point that out again. Our emotions don't serve the animal's position. And mm-hmm. I believe that that is very underestimated in our vegan circles and our activism circles, because I do meet very little vegan activists that are as you and I. We're both in a position, you just said you're in a position as a counselor, I'm in a position as a life coach for work and also passion, where we studied and we learned and we practiced more conscious communication and how the mind works and how we can really humbly awaken somebody's a bigger version or greater version. And I think a conversation that needs to be more held, especially in vegan groups, I would love to see that being more posted, is instead of advocating for veganism in vegan groups, which I see a lot, we have the vegan wars, and then we have like a lot of go vegan posts in vegan groups, which are filled with vegans already. And I'm like, okay, well, where's mm-hmm. the, you know, I've seen it. I know it. In my own group, I actually have a rule that says we are not posting any animal abuse, and we're not posting advocacy for animal rights. So you can share something that inspired you, but it's more about your inner world and working on your emotions, because that is underestimated. When an activist is capable of looking inwards and managing plus releasing their own emotions and not brings them into a conversation, maybe offline or online, the conversion rate, and I'm using that term very carefully because it's a business term, but the conversion rate of inspiring somebody to become vegan faster is higher. Mm-hmm. And I've done my research on that. It indeed is, from my personal experience and the research that I've done. People become vegan faster when they feel like it's a safe thing to do, when they feel like it's an empowered thing to do. And I think it's much more our job or our responsibility that we can own, take ownership over our responsibility as activists, instead of pointing out, saying this is wrong, saying this is not right, this is you're doing this wrong, is hey, there's a possibility too. There's mm-hmm. an alternative for you to make a choice mm-hmm. that's aligned with what you just told me. Like, you care for animals. Okay, so how do you want to show that in your life? That's a question, for example. How do you want to show that in your life? How do you want to translate that into your actions? Just to give some questions here that we can use in everyday conversations, right? How do you want to translate that into your actions? How do you want that to show up in your life? How do you think that could manifest or take shape, right? Yeah, and one last thing before we're bringing closure, because I keep the podcast episodes around 30 minutes for the sake of digestibility. One last thing that I would love to ask you, with your experiences on the field as an animal rights activist and speaking to people, can you tell us just one experience that you had with somebody that you had a conversation with that went so well? And just tell us some details of that conversation that you had with that specific about to become vegan.
I've had so many conversations, you know, but one that I can't even think of off the top of my head immediately, because they're all very good. They're all very good conversations, and I always think that they're positive. One conversation has stuck with me, and from that moment on, I've decided that I realized that I was doing my activism wrong. So rather than actually trying to, as you mentioned, the conversion rate, since we're there, you know, trying to convert somebody into becoming plant-based, I've actually made myself very, very aware of how wrong I was in my approach. And that was to do with blaming and shaming, and conversation just went from bad to worse. And the gentleman who was talking to me, he's just like, I'm keeping an open mind, but you sound very scripted. And you are saying the same thing over and over again. And I'm going to walk away from this conversation feeling, I'm not going to use that word, but feeling bad about myself. And I feel like that is not my intention. On the contrary, I would like people to walk away from this conversation feeling empowered and supported. And again, another controversial word, you know, because we're talking about oppression, and yet you are thinking of supporting the oppressor. But that's the conversation for a different, well, that's the topic for a different conversation. So, and I was angry, and I had this phrase at the time when, again, has been thrown around a lot. If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. And I think that is very misconstrued phrase, you know, and saying, and that it's misunderstood. And it's actually quite damaging, because that basically gives activists the right to be angry with pre-vegans and show that anger. There's nothing wrong with anger. It's absolutely natural response to certain things. It's a natural emotion. It's what you do with it. So if you're not angry, you're not paying attention, then that's absolutely fine. But when you are showing that anger and projecting that anger on the person that you're speaking with, that is the wrong way to do the activism. Or at least that's not very, it's not very productive, let's put it this way. So that conversation that I had with a gentleman, they left. They walked away, and I felt really bad about it, because I did not achieve what I was intending to achieve at the time. And to me, that was a very good conversation, because then I realized that I'm not doing my job very well, because I'm not speaking for the victims. I'm speaking for myself as a victim, because the acts, the things that's happening to the non-human animals in the human world are absolutely despicable, but they're not happening to, those things are not happening to me. So, and therefore, and actually this morning I saw a post of somebody, you know, torturing a poor dog, you know, and there's a something along those lines. If that makes you feel angry or whatever that is, imagine what it feels like for a vegan to live in a non-vegan world. Again, bringing back to the vegans, whereas actually you're not the victim. Imagine what it feels like for that dog who's being tortured. And that's what we need to be focusing on. It's nothing to do with you, vegan, because you chose to it. You chose that path. So non-human animals haven't. So, and that's probably one conversation that I will remember for the rest of my life, you know, because that actually changed the way that I do my activism. Because it is okay to be angry. It is okay to be frustrated. It is okay. We all know that those things that are happening to non-humans are despicable. The fact is that you're not showing your anger does not mean that you're not vegan enough and you're not paying attention. It means that you're taking a more adult, a pragmatic approach to advocacy.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like when you become vegan, you become a child and you learn new things again. And that's, we got to ripen as vegans as well. And even further as vegan activists. So thank you so much for sharing that experience, Sash. How can people reach out to you? And if somebody wants to like connect with you, in what ways do you offer your services as a counselor online, or are you just available to chat via social media? Let us know. How can people reach out to you?
I'm available on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook mainly. So you can message me, you can email me. It's on sash@sashajolliffe.com. It's pretty easy email address, and I'm happy. I don't offer counseling, but I am happy to offer just chats. If somebody is struggling, if somebody feels isolated from the rest of the vegan world, and if they believe that their advocacy is not as productive and helping others, by all means, do reach out. It's completely free. I am just here to help.
I'll link your email and your Facebook contacts in the show notes or on YouTube in the description of the video. So thank you so much for joining us today. And if you want to reach out to me, you know where you have to click. It's the same place. Show notes, description of the video. I do offer my services as a certified life coach, and I decided to only offer them to vegans. I'm here to support our community. I'm running courses and programs to help you with your communication, to help you with your inner world, with your emotions. I'll leave the link to my website down below so you can check that out as well, dear listeners. And I want to thank you. And thanks again, Sash, for joining in.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Vegan Changemaker podcast. Please share it with your friends, your family, your social network, and your loved ones. If you want to get your impact to the next level, I invite you to take the Vegan Impact Quiz. I created it to help you figure out what the next steps are for you to elevate your vegan impact and create more significant influence in the world. Check out the link, I left it for you in the show notes, and I'm curious to see where you're gonna land and what your next steps will be. Let's veganize this world together, dear vegan friend.